In this life, we love exploration. We have explored the might and greatness of the sea. We have explored some of the highest peaks on Earth. We have even explored the vast unknown of space and what we cannot see. There is so much beauty we have yet to explore. Man is always in search of something, trying to fill a void and emptiness in his heart. A void that can only be filled by God and His Word. So join us on our journey as we search and explore God's message. As we travel to the Garden of Gethsemane. As we search out where Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Where we find Jesus in the fire. And a praying man in the den of lions. But on our journey, we need hope, peace, and comfort that can only be found by searching and studying the Word of God. These things we find in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So come with us as we explore God's message.
Hey there, everybody. I want to welcome you tonight to Exploring God's Message. Thank you for joining us again this week as we do our weekly podcast. We thank you for joining us. We hope that you've had a wonderful day. We thank God for allowing us to be back here one more time. We thank the Lord for His mercy and grace in our lives one more time. And so we want to pick back up where we was at last week. We've had a real good week in the Lord. We've got to preach yesterday morning at our home church Friendship, and thank the Lord for what we felt and heard and seen in that service yesterday. We thank the Lord for that. And so we sure are grateful that He allowed us to be a part of this, and that He allowed us to be in born again, and we thank the Lord that He put us in His family. And so we want to kind of dive off into this again tonight. We know last week we talked to you about how we were going to look at the life of Jacob, and to do that we kind of have to look at everything. We have to look at Isaac and his mama, and Rebekah, and then Esau, his brother, and then Jacob. And so last week we told you about God's covenant with Isaac, about He told him to sojourn in the land there, and that if he done what he was told, that he was going to be blessed, and that he was going to get the inheritance that was promised to Abraham. And we know all of that. And so we ended with chapter 26 in Genesis last week, and we're going to start in chapter 27 tonight. And so like we said, we're just going to kind of slowly go through this a little while, and just whenever we get to a good stopping point, we'll stop. And so y'all pray for us tonight, that we'd ever just do what God would have us to do. In chapter 27, in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison, and to bring it." Now, right here, you read this, and Isaac's got to the point of life where he feels as though he's about to die. He's went blind. He couldn't see. And so he called Esau, his eldest son, and said, hey, he said, pretty much, you know, kind of like we'll do on different things. And he said, you know what I'd like to have is I'd like for you to go kill me something and fix it for me and make me some savory meat, and I'd like to eat that one more time before I die. And he said, I sure do love it. And he said, I'm gonna bless you because of it. And then, like it said, and Rebekah heard this, which is Isaac's wife. And so remember, though, where we talked about how Isaac loved Esau and Rebekah loved Jacob. And so remember this now as we're going through this. And it says, and Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will fail me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse. My son, only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. Now, right here you start to see kind of how Jacob's life has been. We know in the previous chapters we've read where he got Esau to sell him his birthright. And when Esau had been working all day and was tired and faint and said that he was at the point of death, he got him to sell him his birthright. And here she was wanting Isaac to bless Jacob instead of Esau. And so he said, now Esau was a hairy man. And he said, now when we go in there, he's going to feel of us to see who we are. And he said, and when we do, he said, he's going to see that it's me and that I'm trying to deceive him. And he said, and he's going to bring a curse upon him. And Rebekah said, Let the curse fall upon me and not you. And so we kind of see how Jacob's life is going and what his mindset is and how Rebekah, his mama, and how they done things. And you'll find this out through this story. And so keep that in mind and just think about what he's a-doing here. And it says in verse 18, it says, And he came unto his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And, ain't that just, you think you're trying to get by with something sometimes, and it just seems like you just can't get by with it. And right here he said, Now how did you, it struck curiosity in Isaac. He said, How in the world did you get it so quick? And he said, Well, the Lord thy God, he brought it to me. He said, Well, come here. He said, Let me feel of you to see if you be Esau or not. And he said, Now, the voice that I'm hearing is Jacob. And he said, But your hands are the hands of Esau. And it says in verse 23, And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hand, so he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." He lied to him. He said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." Now, you know, Isaac was doing everything that he possibly could to make sure he was doing the right thing. And the whole time, he was being deceived by his own son. He even asked him, he said, are you truly Esau? He said, "I am." There must have been something in the back of Isaac's mind that had him thinking that maybe it wasn't Esau. And he said, well, he came near and he kissed him. And while he had him there, he just smelt of his raiment. And he said, "Well, that smells as the raiment of the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed." And we know that Esau was a man of the field. And so he blessed him. He said, "Hey, you're gonna rule over these, and you're gonna have people bow down to you." And he said, "Let God bless the people that bless you, and curseth the ones that curse you." And so Isaac leaves, and when Isaac leaves, Esau comes back. So let's talk about this. And it says, "And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made a savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, 'Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me.' And Isaac his father said unto him, 'Who art thou?' And he said, 'I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau.' And Isaac trembled very exceedingly, and said, 'Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed.'" Now, boy, that must have been a hard thing right there. Esau gets back, and he's doing what his father told him to do. He went hunting, he got the venison, got it ready, and brought it to Isaac. And he said, "I brought you the venison." He said, "Go ahead and eat it, and let thy soul be blessed, so that you can bless me." And Isaac said unto him, said, "Who are you?" He said, "Well, I'm Esau. I'm your firstborn. I'm your son." And Isaac, oh, he trembled. And he said, "Who?" He said, "Where is he that hath taken the venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed." He's saying, "Hey, who was that? Where's he at? Where's the one at that I just blessed then? If you're Esau, who was it that I blessed?" And Esau, verse 34, "And Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even so also, even me also, my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and with wine, and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and above, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by the sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And so he's sitting there, and he's, Esau is, he tells him, he said, Now this is the second time he's done this. He said, he's done took away my birthright, and now he stole my blessing. And, boy, I'm talking about, can't you imagine, how mad and upset Esau was? Can't you imagine really how mad and upset Isaac was as well? But can't you imagine? I mean, probably the pure hatred that Esau had for Isaac, and that's the way the flesh is with the spirit. It hates one another. And, he said, surely you've set aside a blessing for me. Surely you've got one blessing left. Surely you can bless me in some way. And, he told Esau that his dwelling would be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of the heaven from above. And by the sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. He said, you're going to have to bear a burden under Jacob. And so Esau, here it says, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And he got mad, and he hated Jacob. And he said, my father's fixing to die, and he said, we're fixing to have to mourn for him. He said, but when the days of my mourning are over with, he said, then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she went, she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. She said, well, when it's concerning you, he's taking comfort in the fact that he's going to kill you for what you've done. I told you to let the curse fall upon me, but now Esau's mad, and he's fixing to kill you. And she said, now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence, Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? And so she told Isaac, she said, hey, I want Jacob to find him a wife, but not of the land of Heth. And she told Jacob, she said, now I tell you what do. She said, let Esau simmer down. She said, let him quit being mad. She said, let him forget what's happened. Let him kind of get over it. Let him settle down some. And said, and then I'll call for you. She said, but at that time, go over to Laban's house, your uncle, and stay with him for a little while. And so it said there that she talked to Isaac and said, I'm weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. And she said, let Jacob go somewhere else. Said, you know, if Jacob takes a daughter, takes a wife for one of them, said, what good's my life? What's it for me? So Isaac, it says here in start of 28, and it says, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that they mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, thou went Esau into Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. And that's where we was talking to you last week. I'm talking about he went into Ishmael and took the daughter of Ishmael and married her. Boy, why in this world would the blessing fall to Jacob? He deceived, and still Isaac said, let God bless you. Why? Why would all? And you know, I do see myself. I see myself here. Why does God bless us? We ain't done nothing worth blessing. We ain't done nothing worth. We ain't done nothing worth getting anything from. And yet, God blesses us. God, oh, what we don't deserve, God gives it to us. And boy, ain't that what grace and what mercy. Really, me and you looking at it, what should have happened was what should have happened was probably old Esau, in day's time, old Esau would have killed Jacob. And he purposed it in his heart, too. He said, hey, That's where he found his comfort at. It was killing Isaac. And, boy, this flesh will rise up and tries to find comfort in doing away with the spirit. And then things that's contrary to the flesh, hey, that flesh don't like it, and that flesh hates it, and that flesh wants to get rid of it. But when you're in Christ and you're that new creature and that spirit takes over and you're living in the spirit, not in the flesh anymore, and you're doing the things of the spirit, oh, how it changes your hitching post. It changes your wants, your needs, your desires, your thoughts, the intents of your heart, how it changes all that. There's still a war there, and that flesh rises up from time to time, day to day, hour to hour. But how it don't take over your life like it used to. So let's get on here. And it says in Jacob, in verse 10 of chapter 28, it says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he alighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And as he dreamed, and behold, a ladder. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now here we see the ladder going up into heaven and the angels ascending and descending, and God's blessing of Jacob. Here we see this, and he said, you know what? And he said, I'm going bless, he said, from the north to the south, the east, the west. All the families are going to be blessed of thee. I'm just going to follow you, and I'm going to be with you until I do what I say I'm going to do. And I will say, you know, there's something here that I think we need to take a look at and see really the heart of Jacob. It wasn't truly changed at this point. Here Jacob is looking at what God's given him, and what he's gonna get. And he said, you know what, if God's gonna do this, he said, if God will do this, he said, then the Lord shall the Lord be my God. But I think, you know, we're going to have to get to a place in our lives where we say it don't matter if we get the blessings or not. It don't matter if God gives us houses and lands and cars and clothes and fancy this, when I got saved, I wasn't worried about all that. I was worried about missing hell. And so right here, you still see the heart of Jacob not completely turned to the Lord. He was looking at what God was blessing him with, and at what God was going to do for him, and said, "Hey, if you'll do it, God, I'll live for you." But I can remember just crying out, being an old sinner, and not wanting to die and go to hell, and that being enough for me. And just as it was you, we'll see later on that Jacob finally gets to that point. Jacob gets to the point where he says, "Hey, I can't. We're gonna have to. I don't care what I've got. I don't care. It's God. I've got to have you." And we see the change. We'll see the change made. We'll see where Jacob reaped what he sowed, and we'll see where Jacob was deceived, and we'll see where he had to pay for some things. And so you ain't gonna go. You don't just do without getting punished, and you don't go and do without consequence in this thing. But right here, that's what he done. He said, and he's gonna call that place Bethel. He poured oil over the rock that he'd slept on, that pillar that stone that he used as a pillar. He poured that oil out over it, and he said the place was going to be called Bethel. And you've heard people talk about getting back to your Bethel spot. You've heard there's so many churches named Bethel. You've heard, got to get back to my Bethel spot, and that place where God and me first met. And he looked around, and he said, "Hey, surely the Lord is in this place." And he said, "And I knew it not." He said, "Hey, I've been looking into the house of God, into the door of heaven, to the gate of heaven." And so you start seeing the work of God in Jacob's life. We're going to find out where Jacob was blessed. And Jacob, God just put his hand on Jacob. And we don't understand that a lot of times. We don't. It's the same way in today's society. We'll look at somebody and sometimes we don't understand why God had blessed them and not us for what we see and what we think of as blessings. And you look at it and it confounds you sometimes and you don't understand it. God knows what he's doing and he has a plan. And we know it's much higher than our plans, and it's his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways, and so there's so many times there that we love as humans to we like to act like we've got it all figured out and that we know more than God knows, and we truly don't. But right here, and I'd tell you this today, maybe you ain't give your whole heart to the Lord, and maybe you're serving God for what he's done for you. When I say that, I don't mean the saving of your soul. I mean, that's why we live for him, what he done there on Calvary. What I'm talking about is he was talking about the blessings he was going to bless Jacob with. And Jacob said, "If you do this, then you shall be my God." And that's the way a lot of us, I believe, are going today. Is we say, "You know what, Lord, if you do this for me, I'll live for you." At the end of this thing, we're going to realize one thing. And that's this, and that missing hell is enough. Everything else he gave us was just extra. And so right there, that's kind of a good stopping point. We'll see where Jacob gets on over there with Laban in the next couple of chapters, and how that he was deceived and how that he had to pay for what he had done. The Bible says, "Be not mocked." He said, God's not be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Says, if a man soweth to his flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if a man soweth to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And we see where Jacob sowed to the flesh, and we're going to find where Jacob sows to the Spirit. And see which one turns out better for him. And so here, like we said, it's a good stopping point. He's made that vow to the Lord, and he's got his covenant with the Lord, or I guess you'd call it a covenant, the blessing of the Lord, and what the Lord had said. And so we'll find out where he took his journey. I like that, though, where it said that surely the Lord is in this place. And I thank God for that. And just continue to study about this. Like I said, we're going to bring something around in this that we've kind of seen in this, and we just ain't got there yet. And so we're taking this journey together. And you're going to see forgiveness in this, and you're going to find humility in this. You're going to find what it sometimes will cost you, and see how you can get your testimony with the Lord. And so there's so much in this to get to, but we're just laying this foundation, and we're like I said, reading through this, and might not read as much into it in some of these, and just get the points out. But like we said, we sure are thankful that you joined us tonight, and we're so thankful that you've taken time out of your week, taken time out of your busy schedule to be a part of this with us. And so we sure are thankful for that. We sure do thank you for joining us. And so go and study chapter 29, 30, 31, 32. Go keep studying on this and get some thoughts on it, and give me some feedback on it. Why about Jacob and what you're seeing in this? Like we've said before, don't let me do all the talking. Don't let me do all the searching. Come join with me. Get in this journey with me. And so I believe we'll find a great nugget of oil, that pearl of great price. I believe we'll find it in this. And so, we thank you for being with us. We ask that you'd pray for us. We ask that you would go and pray for the lost. And if you are lost today, we pray that God had saved you. We pray that God had put his hand on you, and that you'd ask him into your heart and into your life. For that is the best decision you'll ever make. And so we ask you to keep praying for us, so that we, as we endeavor this. And so we sure do thank you. And until next week, we thank you. We pray that you'll go and that you'll explore God's message. Thank you. We love you. And have a good week.